We get to hear these same scripture readings every year at this beautiful evening Mass of the Lord's Supper on Holy Thursday. The readings are always from Exodus, 1 Corinthians, and the Gospel of John. And all three of them concentrate on the one theme of the Passover meal. In the Exodus reading, we hear about the original institution of the Passover on the night before the 10th plague fell on Egypt and all its inhabitants. In the Gospel reading, we hear about how Jesus celebrated that Passover meal with his disciples on the night before he would undergo his own passion and death, but he changed it. And in the reading from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, we hear about the full meaning of that new Passover, which would be handed on from one generation of Christians to the next, until Christ would come again in glory. It has been handed on to us, and that's what we celebrate here tonight. Let's look a little more closely at these readings. First of all, in Egypt, God gave the chosen people, through Moses and Aaron, the ritual sacrifice that would save them from destruction, that would free them from their slavery to the Egyptians, and would establish their identity as God's people bound for the Promised Land. Those chosen people were, at one and the same time, saved by the blood of the lambs they sacrificed on their doors, and nourished by the lamb's flesh as they would begin their march toward the land of Israel. There were two distinct aspects of that ritual sacrifice. First, the sacrifice would only be completed with the eating of the sacred meal. In contrast to other ancient sacrifices, which were completed by the death of the sacrificial animal, with the Passover, the consumption of the flesh was necessary. In that way, it was both a sacrifice and a banquet. I hope you can already see the foreshadowing of the Eucharist. The second distinct aspect of the Jewish Passover sacrifice was that it was to be celebrated annually. It was to be made present to every subsequent generation by a process of ritual remembering. Thus, the Passover was not just an event of the past, but a timeless event by the mystery of God's power made continually present. Now Jesus, because he was God, was able to change the Passover ritual and give it new and fuller meaning. We hear in our gospel passage from St. John, "So during supper, fully aware that the Father had put everything into his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God." Jesus had come from God, and he was returning to God. The primary change that Christ made in the Passover was that he put himself into the meal as that unblemished lamb. It was thus his passing over to his Father by means of his death and resurrection. And with that change, Jesus both saved his people with his own sacrificial blood, and he nourished them with his own flesh for their journey. God's people, which henceforth would include all people who would come to believe in the Son, would be saved not just from physical slavery or oppression, but from the slavery to sin, which has plagued our human race since our first fall from grace. And Christ's feeding of his people with his own flesh was not just to nourish them for a journey in this world, but for the journey through this world to our heavenly homeland, where, as the book of Revelation expresses, there will be no more death or mourning, no more wailing or pain, and every tear will be wiped away. Servant of God Romano Guardini, a 20th century theologian whom I've mentioned before, I know, spoke eloquently about Christ's institution of the Eucharist in his spiritual classic, The Lord. He wrote this: "In saying, 'Do this in remembrance of me,' Jesus was instituting something that was to remain to the end of time. Hence, as often as those authorized to do so say these words, 'Make this gesture,' the identical mystery takes place, and the Passion, whose stand is in eternity, is caught and brought down in liturgical rite. In all truth, it may be said, this is his body and his blood. This is Jesus Christ in his redemptive dying. The liturgy is a commemoration, yes, but it's a divine commemoration, not human imitation or memorial. End quote. That's why this same Eucharistic ritual, which is being celebrated in thousands of Catholic parishes across our country right now, and has been offered many millions of times throughout the history of the Church, connects us to the one Last Supper and the one saving death and resurrection for all time. Again, from Monsignor Guardini, what then is the Eucharist? Christ in his self-surrender, the eternal reality of the suffering and death of the Lord immortalized in a form that permits us to draw from it vitality for our own spiritual life, just as concrete as the food and drink which we draw for our physical life. Jesus knew we would need the most nutritious spiritual food for our journey through this life, with its many temptations and sorrows and pitfalls, so he gave us the best possible spiritual food, his own flesh and his own blood. But one might then ask, what then is the meaning of the foot washing, and how does it relate to this institution of the Eucharist on this holy night? Once more, I offer a little insight from Monsignor Guardini. He wrote the following: the attitude of the little man who bows to the greater is not one of humility, but of truth. Genuinely humble is the greater man who bows before the lesser, because in his eyes the little man has a mysterious dignity. To recognize this dignity, to gather it up and bow before it, that is humility. Humility springs from the Creator and is directed towards the creature. Tremendous mystery. The Incarnation is the fundamental humility on which all human humility rests. That is what we have here in the foot washing. Almighty God lowered himself to become one of us so that we could become again one with him. He further lowered himself to become our food. And at that Last Supper, when he had instituted his Eucharist, he showed his disciples, as the Creator toward his creatures, that he loved them and recognized their inherent mysterious dignity, made as they were in his own image and likeness. And so Christ wants us to recognize that inherent dignity of every person, no matter what their status may be in this life or what mistakes they may have made, for we are all lowly sinners before Almighty and perfect God. We do have difficulty doing that sometimes, which is why the grace of the Eucharist was divinely designed to increase our charity. It connects us to the charitable heart of Jesus and to our ever-loving Father who is in heaven. So as we celebrate this institution of the Eucharist tonight and Christ's priesthood that makes it possible in every age until he shall return, let us remember how far back God's plan for this sacrament extends and how far forward it is meant to take us. This new and eternal Passover of Jesus Christ is the most awesome of mysteries that calls for our complete adoration and gratitude.